Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
Pastor Martin, you are welcome, sir.
Thank you, and glory to God. And it's exciting. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to be with you all this evening.
Amen. How is your family, sir?
My family is good. Glory to God. I am not complaining. God has given us the grace, and they're healthy, and they're excited about tonight as well.
Hallelujah. You look so nice. You look so nice. The glory of God is shining upon you, man of God.
Thank you. Well, after the 12th of April, here in the UK, a lot of the facilities were open, and they gave us an opportunity to enhance the aesthetics around us. So courtesy of that, the viewers are getting a glimpse of a refined version of me. Glory to God.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So how has it been for you during this whole year of lockdown? What has been happening? How did you get through this? What got you through this season?
To be honest, for me, it was a season of unveiling. Mm. I think during this whole process, for me, there was a death, burial, and resurrection. The person who went inside that tunnel of mm-hmm. the lockdown came out a completely different man.
Wow.
And whilst I commiserate with some of the unfortunate situations that engulfed a number of families, we cannot be blind to that. In it were aspects where God was doing a work in majority of us, turning us over for his glory. Mm. And I commend the grace of God for that.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's awesome. That's awesome. I know that God has been speaking to you in a special way, and we can't wait to receive from you this evening. Before we continue, why Ampelos? Why Ampelos? Tell us a little bit about Ampelos, sir.
That's a very interesting question. Interestingly, whilst I was meditating and believing God for this meeting, mm-hmm. God said to me, mm-hmm. introduce the vision. Wow. Tell them why I put this in your heart. And wow. That's one of the confirmations that, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is here. He said, start with Ampelos, John 15:1. He says that I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Ooh. And the true vine, you know, the word true is actually consistent across all pages of Scripture, you know, and the Greek word for that is alethinos. Mm-hmm. In other words, there is a false vine somewhere. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is actually saying, I am the true vine, and the vine is Ampelos, which is Christ.
Oh,
and John used this word truth a number of times in Scriptures. Mm. So against that foundation, he said, now I'm sending you into the world to bring people back into the true vine, because majority are abiding in the false vine.
Yes, 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 yes.
And that's the period of the lockdown. He said, I'm going to unveil truth so people who have been in darkness will find the light. So he said to me, go out there, and by my Spirit, you speak truth, which is Ampelos, which is Christ.
Amen.
So people can come back into the true vine,
amen,
not the false vine.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Awesome, awesome. So you know what? I'm just going to release you right now so that you can, you know, just take it away, man of God. Take it away. Let's receive Pastor Martin right now to deliver what God has deposited on his heart. Amen. Take it away, sir.
Amen. Glory to God. I'm excited. I'm honored. I'm privileged. I just want to thank the Lord for vehicles like Shiloh at Tabernacle and other vehicles that are standing on the truth. And I just want to thank the Lord for the chance to share a platform with my brother and for the brethren out there to be enriched by his word. And I just want to thank my good friend, the Holy Spirit, who is always with me when I'm sharing. And I know that your lives are not going to remain the same. I just want to tell people out there, if you are listening, if you're watching, that you have got no choice. You are late. If you think nothing is going to happen to you, you are late, because there is no way your life will not change. Why? Nothing to do with Martin, nothing to do with Ampelos, nothing to do with Pastor Ruben, but where Christ's word is shared, where his word is shared, it never returns to him void, in the name of Jesus. And having given that introduction, which is Ampelos, which is the true vine, which is Christ, he went on to say, and whoever is not in me will not bear fruit. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, I will take away. Right. And what he is saying is, it is impossible to be in Christ and not bear fruit. And being in Christ is not a static position. Being in Christ is a fluid position, because truth is revelation, which revelation is fluid. So when we say that we abide, we remain, we stay. You know, when other things are persuaded, swayed off by forces, we remain in Christ, because that is where eternal nutrients reside. So I am preaching a gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is my mandate. I preach no other gospel except the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. And that is the foundation upon which I stand. Now, I'm going to share a number of inferences where John, the Revelator, has given us insights concerning this truth. So if you open your Bibles, the book of 1 John chapter number 3, verse 18, 1 John chapter number 3, verse 18, there are a number of areas where John is alluding to truth, which is Christ. He says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions in truth," which is aletheia, the experience of Christ, knowledge and experience of Christ. Let us, he says, do not love with words, but with actions and in truth, with actions and in truth. And in 1 John 4:6, again, he says the same thing. He says, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. Then he goes on to say, this is how we recognize the spirit of truth. And this is where I'm going to lay much emphasis. The spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Every time a certain word is emphasized, there is an unspoken other parallel to that word we should take note of in scripture. So when we talk about truth, in other words, there is falseness. When John talks about the true vine, Jesus says, I am the true vine. He has observed, he has worked with these people, has spoken to people, and is observed there is the false vines. When Paul comes, he says, if anybody preaches another gospel, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, I think 2 Corinthians, it talks of a second Jesus. There is always going to be the counterfeit. And God is unleashing voices that will stand for the truth, which is Christ, undiluted, unaccompanied, and unperturbed. John is saying here, this is how we recognize the spirit of truth in 1 John 4:6. The spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Now, who is truth? Because truth is in our English understanding, something deemed to be correct. But the literal meaning of truth is literally something that is eternally, something that is eternally from the mouth of God. That is truth. An example I can give to somebody, you go to the doctor and they use the most reliable and commendable equipment to scan your body. And let's assume they find something that needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. They'll give you a statement of fact that this is what we have found in your body. And most people take what the doctor has said, that statement of fact, which is a fact, as truth. No, because as soon as the doctor says it, it becomes historical. Facts are only facts in real time.
My God.
A minute later, they are no longer facts because something could potentially have happened. For example, 60 years ago, assuming 70 years ago, wherever you are, whichever part of the world, you know, London, Greece, Turkey, Germany, Athens, whatever city, you know, Kampala, Uganda, 70 years ago, specific streets and roads, there were particular landmarks. So 70 years ago, if you say to somebody, meet me at the landmark X, that fact would have been literal because the landmark was still there.
Yeah.
With changes, time, and development, that landmark is probably somebody's house, is probably a shopping mall, is probably another city. It no longer exists. So what was true in your understanding in 1970, 60, 50 is no longer true.
Yeah.
So truth is eternal and indelible, which is Christ, because truth is not a narrative, truth is not a paragraph, it is not a theology, it is the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So they take him to Pontius Pilate, and they say to him, okay, and he says, you've said right, I am the truth. Pontius Pilate goes, who is truth? Pontius Pilate did not comprehend that truth was before him, which takes me to my next point. It is not truth until it is revealed.
My God.
Truth stood right in front of Pontius Pilate and he asked the question, what is truth? It is like standing right in the middle of the doorway and you're saying, where is the way? And you even stretch your arm right through the door and then turn back because you're blind. Until it is revealed, it is not truth. That is why the power of God in Christ is so potent, because it does unveil anything of your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So Jesus is very, very distinct when he says, I am the true vine, and whoever abides in me, abides in me, stays, remains. So this is a committed action and consistent of knowing that whatever happens, the nutrients will suffice.
Amen.
And if you actually read John 1:14, I'm just doing a simple study here, but we're going to land somewhere by the grace of God. John 1:14. He says, the word became flesh. His dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. And it takes it even deeper. In John 1:17, it goes, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Christ. So we need to substantiate the truth we're talking about here. The person of Christ in experience. That is truth. Grace and truth came through Moses. But I want to actually share something that is very interesting about John 1:17, linking up to John 1:14, which is interesting because it says, for the law was given through Moses, comma, at that point, in the English language, the amplification of the sentence at the end renders the first part of the sentence ineffective. Let me say it again. The amplification of the sentence at the end renders the first part ineffective. So for the law was given through Moses, comma. In any case, if someone is listening, they're like, so what are you saying? In other words, what you just said is not what you're saying. I need to listen more. So if we say for the law was given through Moses, all right, so what's your point? The point is grace and truth came through Christ. In other words, the law that came through Moses is no longer truth. Because Christ has now been revealed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with the law. That's the schoolmaster who brought us to Christ, granted. But whilst Christ is revealed, we cannot then go back to the law of Moses. That's not the experience. That's not our pattern. That's not our lot. That's not the gospel. Ha! My God! Someone! Remo Seta. The gospel is Christ revealed.
Amen.
So there are so many vines out there that have been so many branches all under the umbrella of the body of Christ. But Christ made the statement in John and said that he was the true vine. In other words, there were other vines as well. So let's examine deeper and juxtapose John 4:19-24 when we talk about truth here. And we're going to juxtapose it. Juxtapose means to place something side by side in a comparative manner. Okay, that's what I mean. So I'm going to compare two scriptures and do an exegesis for us to get to see what truth we are talking about. So let's go to John 4:19-24. I love this scripture when we talk about truth. And I want to bring you to a place of understanding where truth is not past tense. And where anything past tense is not truth. Why? Because Christ is experiential in scripture. So when you go to John 14, Jesus takes half a day's journey and goes to Samaria, wakes up in the morning, and at around midday, he goes to Samaria and sits on the well, at the well. The disciples are hungry. They go looking for food. Jesus had more eternal food to eat. So he sits at the well because he's got a divine appointment. Someone said divine appointment.
Divine appointment.
So when he sits at the well, he meets this woman and they begin having an exchange. But verses number 23 is one that I'm really interested in. If you go to your Bibles in the book of John, chapter number 4, verses number 23. Let's start from there. 21 is where I'm going to go for because it gives us context. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me. I said, woman. No. The woman said to him, verse 19, I beg your pardon. Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Okay. And then Jesus says in verse 20, And she says in verse 20, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. Mark the past tense. Because truth is not past. Truth is present continuous into the literal experience of Christ. So she is right when she said, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, verse 21, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is for the Jews. Verse 23, but the hour is coming and the hour is now. The hour is now during this season, more than ever before, is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. And then he goes on to say, God is spirit. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. But he said that the hour is now, God is spirit. Now listen to this. The experience of that woman was that of her forefathers. Mm-hmm. anything that is ultra-virus, worshiping God in truth and in spirit, is automatically no longer the truth. So they worship God on the mountain like their forefathers, and he's saying, come the revelation of Christ that is no longer the truth. Amen. My God, I was born a Catholic. I was an acolyte, an altar boy, walking in dignity, bouncing like a rubber band. And that was my experience of truth until I met Christ, and all I knew was no longer true. What a story. Because it was relegated in the archives of past tense, and I'm now walking in the identity of truth. My God. So this woman up until this point worshipped where his forefathers worshipped, her forefathers worshipped, and Christ came and tilted the clock. Now, I am speaking to people who have had ways of worshiping, of expression, of relationship outside Christ. I've got news for you. Right now, you are encountering truth, and everything else is in the past. Hallelujah. That is why when he talks about the new covenant, he announced the old. He says we now have a better covenant. That is why the covenant that is new is replaced the one that is old. It is not an amalgamation. My God, hallelujah. Truth cannot be mixed with ideas. Because ideas bring truth is indelible. It's got its own lane. It is a one-lane journey. My God. It doesn't have multiple lanes. Truth is current based on revelation. Revelation is not historical, it is experiential. I was once listening to a psalmist, Nigerian born, and the grace of God upon this young man, and they asked him, how do you do it? How do you get so deep when you go to the deeper places of experience? And he made a statement that sobered me up. I will never forget that statement. And he said, you see, that the minute you get to a certain space with God and experience that space, as soon as you get there, he's moved. So just as you're glorying in that experience, he's moved. At that point in time, then you seek him a lot. That's why he says, seek the Lord all the time, because the depth of his experience is bottomless. That is how precious this truth is. So this woman at the well was experiencing truth at that very hour. It is the now revelation that brings the fruit. Yes. So when a believer no longer bears fruit, the now revelation is absent. That is truth. So if 6 months ago, the blind were seeing, the lame were walking, and everything was happening, and you're like, oh, God is with me. Watch, because you might be in the category of the ones he refers to when he said that you did all these things in my name, I did not know you. You pursue the truth almost as you breathe in and out. That's the depth of the current now revelation of Christ. Amen. And that's the gospel we ought to preach. Amen. Now, question, does it mean that if I search through the books of Moses, Numbers, Leviticus, Etar, since you've just mentioned to us that anything that is historical does not bear truth. So if I go through all those scriptures, Martin, say to me that I am not in the truth. Are you trying to say to me that the Bible is actually not entirely relevant? Are you saying that all the other parts of the Bible are not important? Certainly not. And I'm going to take you onto a journey. If you go with me to the book of John, chapter number 5, verse number 39. John, chapter number 5, verse number 39. I'm going to show it with you a very sweet scripture. It doesn't matter which portion of scripture you're reading. What matters are the lenses of the Spirit that can zoom into truth current in that very matter of this scripture. It doesn't matter if you're reading John, Genesis chapter number 3, verse 30. It doesn't matter. Go ahead and read it. But the Spirit of God searches out current truth, which is Christ, in that portion of scripture. Mm-hmm. And that is the attitude with which a believer ought to read the Bible. That is when the Spirit gives life. Because if you can't see Christ in scripture, that is the letter which killeth. But the Spirit gives life because it draws Christ from every aspect of scripture. And John chapter 5, verse number 39 is quite potent. One of the most potent scriptures. I love it to bits. It says here that you search the scriptures. You search the scriptures. If you actually read the Amplified version, it says, you search and investigate and pore over the scriptures diligently because you suppose and trust that you have eternal life through them. And these very scriptures, what do? They testify of me. I'll read that again. You search and investigate and pore over, P-O-R-E, pore over scriptures diligently, carefully, because you suppose and trust that you have eternal life through them. And then he qualifies what it means, and he says, and these very scriptures testify of me. Hey, my God. Luke 24, 27, another favorite scripture of mine. I'm trying to open the eyes of a believer, of a minister out there, to seek Christ in scriptures, because that is the only experience we need. Christ revealed, Christ lived, not Christ archived. Oh, in my glory days, oh, you didn't see me. I used to do stuff for Jesus. We're not interested in history. We're interested in now, amen, my brother, my sister. Amen. So Luke chapter number 24, verse 27. I'm going to give you a bit of context to this scripture. Jesus is walking on the road to Emmaus with a couple of others. I think there were two or three. And these guys were eulogizing about the events that had happened at the time of Jesus's crucifixion and resurrection. And he appeared and he was amongst them, and they did not recognize him. They did not know the truth, because they were making reference to what was written, not what has been experienced. And the Bible declares, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them scriptures concerning himself. It says, beginning with Moses, and throughout the prophets, he went on explaining and interpreting to them all the scriptures of the things concerning himself. Now, let us try and break this down. When we say beginning at Moses, these are the first five books written by Moses. So beginning from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I do not know how long Jesus sat with these guys. He's opening their eyes. He said, you're reading Genesis, let me show you Christ. You're reading Exodus, let me show you Christ. He must have taken them to the point when Moses was asking the Lord, okay, Lord, what will I say to them? What will I say to them who has sent me? Say, go and tell them that I am Yahweh, Alemose, not the multi-breasted one, not Elohim. No, I am has sent you. And Jesus is saying to them, do you know who this I am is? He takes them to the book of John. I am the breath of life. I am. He said, I am the one who was at the beginning. Yeah. So in the first five books of Moses, he is bringing out truth, which was Christ. Ha! Lekosa. Mandeleba. Okatelelebosa. And then he goes on to say that from Moses throughout the prophets. So he continues through the prophetic books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezra, mention all the prophets, and is bringing out scriptures. I am actually persuaded this was eternal time. This time stood still in the natural, because Jesus expounding these things became spiritual time. Olemo kaserema. And you can imagine him bringing out truth, current, present truth, from scriptures that were written that some Jews still describe as historical accounts. Hey, now listen to this. Now, that is the beauty of this word becoming alive. Mm. This is where you see the true vine. Mm. Okay, I'm going somewhere. Okay, and all the scriptures and all the things concerning and referring to himself. You need to understand that when you get to scriptures, for example, the Gospels, are transient books because it is talking about Christ incarnate. Jesus was not referring to scriptures that we read now. Paul was not referring to scriptures that we read now. They were all referring to all the books I've mentioned all the way up to the prophets. That is what they had. And even in there, when you read scripture, when they are quoting and writing letters to churches and all that, they are bringing out truth, which is Christ present day. Oh, am I speaking to somebody?
Yes.
So that is why when we talk about the true vine, we are talking about Christ unattached, unaccompanied, no ordinances, no razzmatazz, no gimmicks, no games, no nonsense. Yes, no nonsense. I beg to be more direct, Pastor Ruben. Let me hope I'm not offending anybody. It is what it is. Because when 1 John 4:6 mentions that I am going to, he says, this is how to recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood.
Yes.
I've given you a background of what truth is. So now, what is the problem, or what has been the problem? The problem has been a misalignment of truth. Misunderstanding of truth, misinterpretation of truth.
Yeah.
And that there is so many things that might come with that. And one of them is, how is the Holy Spirit working in the heart of a believer? Because if the Holy Spirit is working in the heart of a believer, he says, I will send you a comforter, the paraclete, paracletos, and he will guide you. Just like you hold someone by the hand and say, I'll guide you in all truth. So if you allow the Holy Spirit, if you have that relationship with the Holy Spirit, he guides you in all truth.
Yes.
Just like Christ guided these gentlemen on en route Emmaus in all truth, and they experienced the person of Christ. And mark you what I did not read in Luke 24, 27. It said, while they were at meat, sat down and had fellowship while they were at meat, while they had something to eat. That is for another day. There is a lot of depth in there. You know, while they were at meat, but they encountered the person of truth. So I want to talk about what is untrue, the malaise. One of the reasons I believe why God woke me up from my other life or experience and say to me, I'm Pelos. Our mandate is to teach Christ.
Yes.
It's truth.
Yes.
Because there is a distinctiveness between the truth and falsehood. Now, the word here for falsehood, if you go to John 8:44, it talks about you are of the devil and there is no truth in him. Your father, the devil, and is referring to the Pharisees.
Yes.
He's not referring to non-believers. He's not referring to, barbarians. He is referring to teachers of the gospel at the time. Well, not the gospel. There's only one gospel, which is Jesus Christ. The teachers of the law, or teachers of religion, or teachers of whatever sects they were at the time. He's saying to them, he's saying, our father Abraham. And he said, no, mate. If you believed your father Abraham, if truth was current in what you know, you would not be denying me. You would not be saying, I am not the Son of God. You would not be saying, I come from the Father, because it would have been revealed by my Father, by my Spirit, that I am truth. But since you don't, then you are of your father, the devil, which is pseudomai, from the word pseudo. Lies, lying, fibs, falsehood, plane, which is unfortunately one of the biggest challenges that the gospel has experienced the last many years.
Yes.
The lies, the subtlety of deceiving spirits. And behind this spirit are certain characteristics. And I want us to go to one of them that I want to touch on tonight and leave us in a place where we can glean something. And whenever God gives me the grace, we will go into a study of breaking down these lies and how the power of God deals with these lies.
Yes.
So if you go with me, journey with me, to the book of 2 Peter 2:15-16. Someone say truth, because the truth is what genuinely sets free. The truth is what genuinely sets free. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read the message version from verse number 15 to 16. And it says, they've left, and who are these? They've left the main road and are directionless, having taken the way of Balaam, son of Beor, the prophet who turned profiteer. Someone underlined that word, a connoisseur of evil. But Balaam was stopped in his wayward tracks. Roma Katana, I speak in the name of Jesus. He is already doing it. He's stopping the Balaams in their wayward tracks. Those that whose eyes are opened have already seen it and are seeing it. The Spirit of God is stopping Balaam in his wayward tracks because he is literally at the cusp of coming again in glory. And the gospel of Christ has got to be preached. And a dumb animal spake in a human voice and prevented the prophet's craziness. I am persuaded we are living in a time, dispensation, where Christ himself is raising donkeys to speak, where Balaam, on saddling on top of a donkey, is actually going ultra vires the command and word of God. This is what is happening in the body of Christ. The tables have turned. Things have changed. And the donkeys that are underneath are speaking.
Wow.
They are speaking truth. Voices that are obscure. Almost from nowhere. You know, in the Old Testament, I think it's in the book of Daniel, I believe, where the hand of a man wrote on the wall, Mene, Mene, and nobody could interpret it. It wasn't the prophet, it wasn't the minister, it wasn't the teacher, it wasn't anybody noble, it was the hand, it was something obscure. When God is bringing about a radical move in a time, he uses very, very unexpected, obscure, despised, unheard of means of putting the message across. The donkey spake. You say, why did you cane me 3 times? My God. And 1 Peter or 2 Peter, it gives us a narrative that this is the spirit of Balaam. My God.
My God.
Let us juxtapose. Let's just, scripture defines scripture. Scripture is not controversial. Let's go to the book of Revelation as I close. Revelations chapter number 2. And I want us to read verses number 14, I believe. Glory to God. This is the church, which is the compromising church. Before I read this portion of scripture, let me give you a backdrop. The Bible is Christ. It's a Christocentric book. Yeah, glory to God for theology, eschatology, whatever. The Bible is a Christocentric book. That's where the nutrient of life is, where Christ is revealed and experienced. Amen. Now, when John the Revelator is receiving these messages from God, they are not according to scripture. For once, we are not looking at scriptures to get truth. This is the Spirit of God speaking. And the Bible declares when the Spirit of God is speaking, there is no past tense. There is no history. When the Spirit of God speaks, it is eternally relevant. So in as much as these were churches in the Asia Minor, Ephesus and all that, at the time, the Spirit of God spoke then, is speaking now. And when you read about the accounts of these churches, what is interesting is that the issues are as glaringly apparent today as they were then. So now he goes to this compromising church in verse 14. He says, let's start from verse 13. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name. There are some good things that this church is doing. And did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. Remember in John 8:44, who is the father of lies? Satan. Satan means opposition. It is from the Greek word satanas, opposing what? Opposing Christ. Yes. That is why at some point Peter was called Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Why? You are opposing the dictates of Christ. So Satan is a spirit. That's why we have what we call Satanists. Because they oppose the truth. Shalom, Satan. Okay, where Satan dwells, verse 14 of Revelation chapter number 2, verse 14. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, not just Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam. If you want to understand what Balaam went through or did, I refer you to the book of Numbers, chapter number 22, all the way up to chapter number 25, where Balaam and Balak are on a ping-pong journey of utter interesting stuff. You read that stuff and you get some context in what I'm sharing in these few 5-6 minutes. Bible declares, but I have a few things against you. And one of these is that you are holding some of those people who hold the doctrine of Balaam. Now, listen to the language here. He says that because you have there those people. So the people who are teaching the doctrine of Balaam is on the side. But even those that accommodate them is the biggest issue. You may not physically go and break into somebody's house, but if you actually drive the car in which they assert you are an equal thief or burglar, that's the judgment of God. That is why when something is true, according to God, it is true. Do not compromise. The Bible declares, do not sit in the counsel of the ungodly. That's in the book of Psalms. That's, and that is his issue. He's like saying, I know those guys and what they do, and I have got an issue with them. But here is my issue with you, the church, is that you have sat amongst them and dined and wined with them. You will recall that Daniel refused to eat the fattening meal of the king. Why? Because it would sear his conscience and it would divert his mission. He said, give us vegetables and water. Because even if we pray to our God 3 days a week, just by eating their delicacy, we're going to participate in their profanity. Yes. Hey! Yes. So when he says here, you have now also accommodated these, and verse 15 he says, thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. So some of us sit here and saying, you know those preachers, well, you shake hands. And I'm not saying you hate them, because love is the nature of God. But how do we love? Admonish. Confront the truth. Rather, confront the situation with truth, with Christ. Ha! Seketa. You pray for them. This is what God is dealing with. The body of Christ is like a harvest field of wheat and tares. They look alike. They probably take up the same ingredients when they are being prepared, but they taste different because truth is indelible.
My God.
Now, I want to end with this. Balaam, if you go and look for the Hebrew rendering of the name Balaam, it is an amalgamation of two names, Bela and Am. Now, Bela means cursing, and Am means a nation. Now, the Bible doesn't have coincidences. So, Balaam, the prophet of God, heard from God, but he needed to appease the invites of Balak. He heard from God. God still speaks to his prophets. He's that faithful. That's not the issue. The issue is when it lands in your heart, the integrity of your heart, having been transformed by the truth. Balaam wanted to appease Balak, sat on a donkey and ordered the donkey to go and do something different from what God had commanded. He was going to go and curse a nation. And God was like, how can I curse a nation that is blessed?
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean, cursing a nation? What is the nation of Israel? In the representation, the nation of Israel is the church.
Yeah.
So man of God, woman of God, you sit and stand in front of your church, the church and people God has given you, and you begin preaching, and you are actually directing this message in a way that Balak is going to fill your room with pleasant riches. Is the benefactor of whatever program, and there are other things that are a benefit if you direct the message a certain way. And your nation, which is Israel, which is the church, which is the body of believers, are actually being fed on food that is not right because it is not truth. And that's what God is dealing with. Food that is sacrificed to idols. And that comes along with so many other vices. And I'll end with this. Those who have ears, let them hear. You know when the Bible says, God tells Moses, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. That they may worship me.
Yes.
Now, listen to this. This is going to mess you up in a good way. May God open the pores of your understanding that your eyes are flooded with light. It says, let my people go that they may worship me. Every time a believer is in consonance with the world, the corruption of the world eats away at the believer.
Jesus.
When we talk about the world, we're talking about the Iona, so the Eon, not the cosmos. The cosmos is the people of God. The Eon is the attractions of the flesh, the world. And this is what happened. When God said, let my people go such that they may worship me, the freedom was not just in their redemption from Egypt, from captivity. That was not an end in itself. But at the very end, you realize that they took up gold, they took up silver,
yes.
They took up jewelry, and they went into the wilderness. And there was no single manner of debt or dependence on anything that will compete with the worship of God.
My God.
So every time then you come in contact with the world, accumulate debt. Accumulate things where the world will say, however much you preach and practice Christ and whatever you do, as long as there is something of mine that I have got unto you, there is a part of you that will inadvertently worship me.
Amen.
That is why it talks about that they're like clouds that do not hold rain or water.
Yeah.
They're like cisterns that do not hold water, clouds that rain, because there is a part of the world, a part of Balak that has got control. We have allowed the world to dictate what ministry, what godliness, what life in Christ looks like. That's the way of Balaam. Mm. You've heard what God said. God said, do this. You've heard it. Mm. But how can I be seen? I need to look a certain part. Mm. You take out a loan because it is justifiable. But that is not what God said. So then there are voices, but they are echoes in a hollow thumb. They are not sounds.
My God.
So God is establishing sounds from the mouths of donkeys.
My goodness.
Because his word cannot be diluted.
Jesus.
And as I close, I just want to pray for somebody who's been struggling in understanding scripture. And I want to pray for a minister who has been torn in between a rock and a hard place. They have been taught a certain way. They are accustomed to doing things a certain way. Bless them, no fault of their own. And they find themselves toying between Balak and the word of God. Sitting on that donkey, they're like, I know I should turn left or right, but I tell you what, if I do, in 6 months I'm going under. There is that struggle. And I pray in the name of Jesus that the shackles are taken off your feet in the name of Jesus, that there is total freedom, that you leave Egypt and that you live with gold, with silver, with ornaments, and that you've got nothing of attachment or dependence on anything to do with Egypt except the truth, which is Christ experienced and revealed.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Hallelujah.
I thank you for the lives that you've set free. I thank you, King of Kings, for your name being glorified in the hearts of many. And I thank you for your faithfulness, because even in Israel, 7,000 of them did not bow their knee to Baal, because that is your faithfulness in every dispensation. You safeguard your name, and that the gospel is preached without anything that dilutes it.
My God.
Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power unto salvation. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
If your heart has been stirred up and you're like, I want the Jesus of that man. I want the fire. I want to have that truth undiluted. And you want to experience that Christ for the first time. I'm praying for you, my brother, my sister. I just want you to raise your hand and say, Jesus, I invite you into my heart right now. Be the captain and umpire of my life. Today I choose to seek truth, and that your spirit will guide me in all truth, and that my life will not remain the same. I know I'm persuaded. If it is you out there, and raise your hand and say, Lord, use me as an example of that is blessed by God and cannot be cursed. You are a blessed nation that cannot be cursed. God is not going to reverse His righteousness, not going to reverse His kindness and His grace upon your life, because you are blessed beyond measure. In Jesus' mighty name, amen,
amen.
Amen. And amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at ShilohLDN. Once again, that's at ShilohLDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time, God bless.